Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.AM and Veritas New Media. Louisville.AM production.
Studio here where we work some magic at the microphone. And here again on Friday morning, we are bringing you a little something special for Louisville Family Fun so that you can go out and enjoy it with your kids. We're going to talk all about the Rau Planetarium at the University of Louisville. You do not have to be a science lover. You just have to be a stargazer to enjoy this planetarium. So on the show today, on this episode, we have the director, Dr. Tom Treader, and he's going to come in and impart all of this wonderful knowledge about the Rau Planetarium with you readers and myself, wow us with some amazing facts, and just give us the rundown of all the different services and entertainment and learning that go through this planetarium every single day that is just fascinating to me. I am totally in awe of the information that is out there regarding our planets and solar systems and stars, and the fact that this place right in the University of Louisville, right in our city, is able to break it down for kids and parents of all ages to enjoy and wonder and really stimulate some thinking. So I just love it. Tune into this podcast with some open ears and get ready for your mind to be blown by some of his interesting facts, because I think it's cool. And it should inspire you to go to the Rau Planetarium and learn even more, or get your school there for a field trip. It would be awesome. So Dr. Tom Treader is with us. And don't forget, at the end, he may be this know-it-all scientist. I'm going to tell him he's a know-it-all, okay, in a good way. He's a know-it-all. He's got it down. He knows all this stuff, that just crazy knowledge about everything involving the planetarium. But he can still deliver a joke. It's the Friday Funny. At the end of the podcast, he's going to give you one. It's his daughter's favorite. So tune in. Here we go with Dr. Tom Treader from the Rau Planetarium. As I mentioned, I'm here at Louisville.AM, and we're going to talk about the Rau Planetarium at U of L. It's a nice gem of a place we have here in the Louisville area that it took me several... It took me a couple of years to get there, so I want to close that gap for when people decide to learn about the planetarium and then go visit. So I've invited Dr. Tom Treader of the University of Louisville. He works as the director of the Rau Planetarium, as well as he's an associate professor of science education. So if I get off topic and start talking all education stuff, I've told you guys before that I am an ex-teacher. And when you're a teacher, you can't really turn that off. And so I may, you know, go all teacher on you and talk to him about that. But we'll try not. We'll try to focus on the Rau Planetarium. So welcome. Thank you for coming to talk with me today.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's good to be here.
Last month, my children and I, and one of the Louisville Family Fund writers who you have heard here on Louisville.am, Maggie, we went and saw one of the public performances. It was a little cute movie of aliens that they had that really reaches that younger crowd. And so I contacted the planetarium. They invited me in, and we got to see that movie and experience it so that I could talk more about the services at the planetarium. But I'll mostly let the expert, and I'll just come in with some of my funny, quirky stories from what came out from that day. But we need to understand, I know from Louisville Family Fund that I'm always going out and trying to expose the city in a positive light to families. And being an educator really at heart, I love the things that combine education and fun. So, you know, that's just wonderful. Just right off the bat. So let's talk about the planetarium. Tell me a little bit about the history of the planetarium. How long has it been around? How has it evolved over time?
Sure. That's a very good question. Actually, we've been around in the city of Louisville for many, many years. We've been in since the 1950s. Our original Rau Planetarium was built. Rabbi Joseph Rau, his memorial bequest, is the genesis of the beginning. And that was right around the time when Sputnik was being launched and the space race started. So put you back in time in history. Think about that.
And probably a really exciting time to be starting a planetarium.
It really was. And at that time, planetariums were fairly new. So this was a really big, high-tech environment. There were no 3D movies and none of the things that we now take for granted. So the planetarium was a very unique environment for generating interest in science.
So it was still kind of the same shape of the experience?
It was the shape of the experience was similar, although the technology by today's standards was, right, you know, archaic, of course. But it was actually a lot smaller than our current building. So the original building really was a resource for our schools.
Okay. So mostly the neighboring schools coming in to...
They would come in and have a presentation and a show and about stars and about space and about what we know and what we're learning. And again, remembering that this was the 1950s and 60s, and so...
I would like the little, like, peek back in time on that, because that would be interesting.
We really didn't know very much yet, because as a species, we had hardly left our own planet. So everything we knew was from telescopes, really. We hadn't sent any spaceships out, no rovers on Mars, none of the things that we
And even
have.
The power of the telescopes wouldn't have been what we have now.
That's right, yeah. And they didn't have all the same kind of abilities to see different parts of the spectrum, so X-rays and ultraviolet and those kind of things now.
So when did it switch to a new location of a bigger high-tech building?
Sure. We had many years of serving the general public. In fact, I still speak to 50-year-old adults that when they find out I'm planetarium director, they'll tell me a story about elementary school being in the planetarium.
So oh, awesome.
I can't remember elementary school that well, but clearly it made an impression.
Yeah.
So about the late 1990s, the planetarium was outdated in one sense. Its technology was. The planetarium mission was not outdated, but the technology was. There was a need to redo some buildings and a parking garage, and so the planetarium original building was torn down late 1990s, and the community support for the rebuilt planetarium was very strong. And so the new building that now exists is 2001 grand opening. It's about 12 years old.
2001. Okay. So somebody my age would have went to the old planetarium.
That's right. It would have been the old one.
Okay. And all of their kids now will go to the new fancy one. So what do you feel is, you know, having this here in Louisville and providing this service, what is the main kind of mission and importance that people need to realize why it's so great that we have this planetarium in such close proximity to everything?
Sure, that's a good question. We find that the allure of space, the imagination, the ideas that it sparks in people of all ages, kids in particular, very, very
right.
impressionable.
Aliens,
and planets and what's out there and where we come
spaceships.
From. All those
For
good
me,
things.
When I was little, the Jetsons.
People still ask me when we're going to have our own robot. In the
Yeah, the Jetsons,
the way.
But, right.
Yeah, but not yet, not on the horizon.
Yeah.
So we have this ability to spark imagination and interest. And the visual medium that is really, you mentioned by being a teacher, that's my background as well. So that visual medium is the strongest way to really connect with a person's brain. You connect with imagination. And the planetarium really can do that in a way that's unique. It immerses you in the visual. So it's all around you, above you, behind
right, I
you.
Experienced that on our last trip. When you sit in, it's not like looking at a book. You know, books are great.
Sure.
You can get probably gorgeous picture books to show your children of galaxies and the planets that have vibrant colors or everything. But when you sit in the planetarium, you're in it.
You are in it. In fact, we've even talked about installing seat belts in seats that don't move. But
yeah, because you do. My daughter, I sat between my children mostly so they wouldn't touch each other. And I could be their referee. But they were actually fine because they were so enthralled. But we did feel like we were moving.
Right.
And so that's something you can't get anywhere else.
No, you really can't. The other big benefit that we bring is that we have trained education staff that deliver our programming. And so in addition to the visuals and the technology, you get an experienced educator helping people of all ages make connections to the content. It helps them make sense of it in a way that they may not do on their own.
Right. So in a book, sometimes it might be too advanced.
Sure.
For them, if it's a little kid, and being there and having an experienced educator can bring it more to their level.
Yeah, they really can. And young children are very surprising. They remember a lot and they ask some really
yes,
tough
I
questions.
Have, I can vouch for that. Okay. They do. And I always tell people this, whether it's you're going out and you're just observing nature and you're going for a hike with your kids, where you are reading a book or you're watching a movie or you're going someplace that should inspire you, like the planetarium, let the kids guide what they want to learn and try to deal with their questions. And so I didn't probe them too much. Like before, I didn't prep them. Right. I said, we're going to a planetarium. I didn't even tell them what it, the idea of what they're going to see, what the movie was about. I did go online. I showed them the little movie, you know, kind of logo, the image.
Right.
And I said, we're going to go see a movie and we're going to learn about outer space. We're going to learn about stars, you know, and the moon and things like that. And what they came out recalling and what they absorbed was so much more than what I had thought, you know, going in. My daughter's four, and I thought, oh, great. You know, she's going to get this. I literally thought going in, by the end of this, she'll learn that there are a bajillion stars. You know, that was like my hope that, you know, that she would learn how many planets there were.
Sure.
And just be able to regurgitate that information. But that night at dinner, she returned so much information to my husband about the planetarium with such excitement that I sat back in my chair and couldn't believe.
I love to hear that.
I know. And my son, as I was telling, Tom before we started recording, they actually got into a battle over who was correct with their scientific information.
That's what we do as scientists all
from
the time,
the movie,
right? We argue and debate.
They were talking about what, was it Saturn that I was describing?
It was Saturn, that's
okay.
Right. Yep.
So my children were talking about Saturn, and in this very adorable movie that we watched in the public performance, these aliens take a trip throughout. They're trying to find a vacation at a new planet. And so they're exploring all the planets, and much to my surprise as well, something I didn't know, that Saturn's rings are not really solid rings. They're just a formulation of, I'm going to totally mess this up. I am not the expert. He is a scientist. But from my daughter was reporting that it was a bunch of little moons. And then my son, but there were so many of them and they were so dense that they appeared to be rings. And so she just said, they're not rings. They're just a bunch of moons. And then my son very forcefully insisted that it was dust. And then they started getting to a fight. Moons, dust. And my husband's like, I don't know. I thought they were rings.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Trying to referee, but you don't know.
And then I said, I think it's both, guys. I think it's both. But it was just so, it was so.
Well, it turns out you were right, because that the rings of Saturn are made up of dust, but they're also made up of little pieces of rock, boulder-sized, house-sized. And so those are like moons
they're like
orbiting
moons.
The planet.
And I think that's how they described it in the movie. They were like little moons.
That's right.
And so that's what she took out, because she always, we have a prayer that we say before bed and it has to do with the moon. And so she related to what she felt comfortable with, the moon. So, I mean, having this here and available to people, I also think it's important because it's on the U of L campus. And there's something about bringing a child to that environment,
right,
that I think is great, especially if you have a tween or a teen. My son is six. I tell him about college because he knows mommy and daddy met at college,
oh,
you know,
yeah, right.
And I always tell him, like, you graduate from high school. That's not it. You know, there's more,
right.
You know, you learn for the rest of your life. And so a 13-year-old, though, who may be really getting the idea of what is the next step in my life after school, and they get on the college campus, I think that's a really cool opportunity.
It can really make it real. I mean, we've seen that with some of the school groups that come through, and they take a tour of campus, and occasionally we have information for them. There are trees on campus that came from interesting parts of the country. There's a tree tour. There are some buildings that they can look at, the library. And the students that come, whether they're elementary, middle, or high school, they really start to see this college campus as a real thing. It's not abstract. And some of our younger students, when they see all the adults, to them, adults walking around,
right,
they,
right.
These 20-year-olds look like adults to
yeah.
them.
They're super cool.
Yeah, and they say, oh, look, those are adults, and they're in class and learning new things. The idea that learning doesn't stop becomes very real to them. They see thousands of adults walking around that are students and learning.
Right. And so I think that there's many aspects of it that make it really important to note that it's here, it's accessible, and we need to take advantage of it. So tell me about kind of the funding of I always like to educate people on how these things are made possible, because we just show up. It's not like a movie theater, which we know is a private business.
Right.
We know how that works. How does it work for the planetarium?
Sure. It's actually a complex financial arrangement. So we're a part of the university.
Complex.
It is right. Complex. That's what science always
is. I know. We can't make it easy here.
It's also part of the College of Education and Human Development. So part of our mission is that education mission. And so our funding comes primarily from private sources. We have, we're expected to break even at the end of the year. The university general budget does not naturally
cost us money.
They do not want us to cost them money. Exactly. Just like as budgets get tied everywhere, right?
Right.
So we have funding from the College of Education. We have funding from private foundations and individuals. We have an endowment that came from the community in 1990s when that new building was built.
Right.
And all of that is a stream of money. And then, of course, we do have fees associated with our field trips or our public shows and those kinds of
events. Where you can generate some revenue back.
We generate some revenue back. And all in all, we try to come out even. Our goal is to break even.
Right, because then you can continue.
That's the whole purpose, right?
Right.
we're there for the education
above
aspect
water,
of it. Yeah.
Above water, or like on the atmosphere. You just remain on the atmosphere.
Yeah, which is a very thin atmosphere, so we're on a thin budget like that too.
Yeah, yeah. So that's one of the reasons that I thought, okay, gosh, we got to get out there and spread the word about the planetarium, because some of the public needs to realize there are ways to visit the planetarium and contribute to that funding by participating in the public performance, birthday parties and all these things, or encouraging their school. We want a field trip there,
yeah.
You know, to help with the funding, because then quite possibly you don't have to break even. I mean, although the mission would continue, it would always be better to be on the positive side.
It would
side.
Be better to be on the positive side. We're looking high, right? Aim
so
high.
Let's talk about some of those. What are some, let's start with the kind of more private and intimate opportunities, whether it's school groups, or what are some of those opportunities for people?
Sure. We have quite a range. And so some of those opportunities include, if you would like to have a rental, we have children's birthday parties that we host. My own daughter, who's 9, has had 3 birthday parties there. She
Cosmic.
She is at the point now where she takes over the presentation and gives it instead of me.
That's fantastic.
She knows it. So she has loved that. Her schoolmates that come, they have a good time. They bring their parents back. You know, it's really a nice atmosphere. So there are those kind of private events, weddings.
Weddings.
Receptions.
Yes. So that would be quite the unique
some
wedding.
Couples get married on Saturn. Just imagine standing in front
they
of Saturn
put it
on
all
those
behind.
Rings, which are really little moons.
Yeah. That is crazy. And then there are adjacent rooms.
We do have an adjacent classroom space. It's where we have the private party part of the birthday party. So there's a dome show that the birthday child name goes on the dome in laser writing. And then they have a party room in the back where we have tables and sinks and things like that.
And I will note that there are there's a really nice outdoor space in the front. It's not a grassy area that I'm explaining, but it encompassed in the circular brick wall. There's just a nice space if you needed room, if you had an event and you wanted something outside. They have some cool stuff during the day. We went out there, and what do you call the thing that captures the sun?
It's a solar telescope.
Okay, so it's a solar telescope. I'm like, that thing that we played with that was cool.
It's a real draw. People love to go
to that. It's very cool. And so it's outside, and it gives you instructions on lining the shadow up. And if it's sunny out, you can see the sun at the base of this telescope as an image. And you can see some of the little spots in it. And so there are things outside to, if you had a group there, you could spread kind of
right.
Like to the
yeah.
outside space as
we
well.
Have a lot of our school groups in particular, they'll bring 150, 160 kids at once. And so that's a nice, they love to go out there and have time to have lunch or something like that.
Right. There is space to spread out.
There's some architectural interesting things too.
Yes. I think it's very, very cool, because you would not, as a casual observer, necessarily notice some of the things that you're about to tell us about.
Yeah, they're pretty subtle. I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but it turned out that way. So one of the things you will notice when you walk in on the concrete, it's a concrete sidewalk, but there are big metal circles embedded in the concrete that are the planets to scale. So Earth is about a basketball sized. Jupiter's the size of a bathroom, if you will, and, you know, a lot bigger than mm-hmm. every planet in between. So you'll notice those planets when you walk, and kids, you know, start to make the connections between how big Jupiter really is compared to the Earth, for example.
Right.
One thing many people miss is that there's a label called Sun right at the door, at the entrance to the courtyard, and that is in that brick wall that circles around the entire facility. And that brick wall represents the size of the sun. when the earth is a basketball. So,
right. So it's very it, for the kids. It can get it can give it some relativity to them.
That's right.
You know, they can really understand because to them they probably think the sun is small.
They do. It looks small in the sky.
It looks small. Yeah. And so that's really really cool to show them that. And so there is also I think an aerial or something about the different stars that are represented if you see it from up top, which normally, you know, I have no way to do that, and I'll just trust you. But I've been told by the gentleman that was there, he was educating me that the next time I get in an airplane, if I look for the big bat on Main Street at the Slugger Museum, I should also seek out the planetarium since it has something unique from above.
Yes, it looks like a star. That's the girders that are in the courtyard. So we have this open girder system there. And so it has a star look, a six-pointed star when you see it from above. But that pattern is interrupted by the building itself. And if you look inside the building on the carpeting, there are stripes on the carpeting that are colored to continue the pattern.
Right. It's really, really neat. I think it was very, like, architecturally just interesting, you know, that they did that. And they put that much thought into this building.
And as a former math teacher, you'd be interested to know that the main building itself is a truncated cone. And you can get all the geometric shapes, circles,
very
ellipses.
Interesting.
When you chop that cone in certain ways.
That would be a whole. We need to send out. I could design some lessons. You know, we could do some lessons in there. But anyway, so we have some private. You can have groups. You can come out there. But then you're someone like me. My kids, their school hasn't done a trip there, but I really want to take my kids. My son is interested. What do I do? What are the public opportunities for? Cover all the age ranges because I know you have stuff that doesn't just interest kids.
That's true. We have things that interest kids of all ages.
Pink Floyd and stuff.
We have the laser shows. So the best place to find out all the details is our website, planetarium.louisville.edu, and all the details are there. So here's an overview. We have our regular public shows on the weekends and special showings during the day during the summertime. So those are there. That's what Stephanie got to see with her kids. It was one of our standard public shows open to the public. Anytime you'd like to come, you check our schedule. We have special events around Halloween, around Christmas. There are activities in the lobby for kids and then special shows and music inside. We have Astronomy Day. We have telescope workshops in collaboration with our partners, Louisville Astronomical Society. They come and help do telescopes and people if they're thinking of buying one for Christmas. We have something prior to that so people can have an expert to talk to them. And then in January, we have a how do you use the thing you just bought telescope workshop.
How do you take it out of the box?
And then point it the right direction, right?
So, right, and know what you're kind of looking at. Focus.
So we have that. We also have special talks. Again, those are all advertised. We have guests coming in that are that give academic talks, but they also give talks for the general public, black holes, asteroid searches, things like that were topics in the recent years in our general sort of speakers.
Right. So what is the cost generally expected?
The standard shows and the tickets for those kinds of events are $8 for adults, $6 for kids. Okay. And then there are special prices for U of L affiliates. Or if you're a member of the planetarium, those are free with the membership. So you can check out the membership option
right.
as well.
So if it's something you really enjoy, and because you do change up the public performances.
We do.
So it's not like if you join, you're going to see the same movie over and over again. You know, there are different...
That's right.
Different opportunities.
And then you can get a babysitter, leave the young ones at home, and come for the Led Zeppelin laser show at 9
right.
p.m., 10 p.m., or the Pink Floyd laser show.
Yeah, I think that would be super cool for teenagers, too.
Yeah, they love that. Our university students really love that, too.
Yeah, so there's just such a wide... I was stunned to learn, I think I know what's going on in Louisville. You know, I've made a business out of knowing. And I always, it was on our list. We always checked what's going on and we would put the public performances on the website. But to see just kind of how flexible it all is, that your staff is really welcoming. And if you want to learn, you'll give people an opportunity to learn.
Definitely. We love talking about this. And so anybody that would like to learn more and wants to come, we're certainly interested in having you.
I also learned something very cool, that you have a mobile contraption that people can bring out, like at there would be a cost involved, but schools, say there's a school that maybe can't afford another day on a trip for whatever it is, whether it's policy that they've already taken all their trips or the money involved with getting the busing, but they do have a little bit of money when the science department or something wants to bring in something special. Tell them about this mobile blow-up planetarium.
Blow up planetarium actually sounds negative.
It I know. Really okay, no, no. Inflatable.
That sounds better.
Inflatable planetarium.
Yeah, it's something that we started last year. So it's a one-year-old initiative. We're able to think of a bouncy house kind of material, right? You have the fans blowing and it blows the bouncy house up. This planetarium blows up that way with an inside screen and super high-tech technology that goes into it. And we can come out to anywhere, really, but we come out to schools quite a lot. We pack it into a van and off we go. So we're able to show and deliver programming. We have some schools that like to have every 450 student person in their school go through it in a day. So those are like 10-minute sort of give you a taste of a tour of the solar system. There are other schools that like us to spend longer, like a class period with third graders or whatever.
So you really just cater to whatever the school needs in terms of where they are per child or in the education, you know, how much they want.
That's right. Exactly. We can target. We can do exactly what the school wants. We're quite flexible. Then, as you mentioned, we mainly take that to schools, but we have options to do other things. We were at the Home and Garden Show this past year.
Right.
We can take it to places like that. And so that we
How big is it?
It's, let's see, it is about 14 feet tall and 30 foot in diameter. So you need like a gym or a cafeteria kind of size.
And I know when we discussed this, it was indicated that it should be outdoors isn't necessarily the best because you can't control the lighting as much. It's too bright.
That's right. The sun will wash out any pictures on the inside.
Right. So,
it
really should be an indoor in a gym, in a school gym or something like that would be really, really
that's
cool.
Right.
I think that's great because it kind of is shutting down a little bit of the barrier. If you can't get to the planetarium, we can get the planetarium to you.
That's right.
I mean, that's super cool.
Yep. We bring you the universe.
So that is definitely something that you might not have known about the planetarium, especially since it's new. You know,
that's
having
right.
having that. So let's fascinate some people while we're wrapping it up here, and we've talked about all of the wonderful things that the Rao Planetarium has to offer. What are some? Let's blow some minds here. Let's first of all, I want to educate all of the parents out there who are my age, and when we made our little styrofoam solar systems in middle school. And we had Pluto.
Oh, yes.
Explain to people. Let's get it out there. What happened to Pluto?
Well, some people say Pluto was demoted. I say Pluto was promoted to head of its own class.
Ah.
So Pluto is no longer a major planet. Rather, it's a dwarf planet.
Dwarf planet.
And it's the signature dwarf planet.
But
the
it
first
is like,
of its kind.
It's just the king of dwarf planets.
It's the
planets.
King of dwarf planets.
And how many dwarf planets are there?
We have.
In their,
we have found.
In their little group.
Five. But there are probably thousands out there. They're just small
Haven't
and far
been found
away.
Yet.
Hard to find.
So Pluto, its potential, right now it's the head of five, but it could be.
It could be a head of thousands.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's epic. So it could be. Okay, so that you hear it now because I've said, you know, I remember seeing it on the news. Pluto is no longer a planet. What do you rocked my mind. I said, I remember putting the little tiny
That's
Pluto
right.
in middle school in styrofoam and color and painting that
I have
thing.
To admit, we still do when we do tours of the solar system. We include Pluto for historical reasons. People would feel left bereft
yeah,
without it.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Pluto. But so there's that fact. We've clarified the whole Pluto thing. So what are some other fascinating things that a parent listening to this podcast who, you know, it's a Friday they're going to spend the weekend with their kid. Let's give them some facts to share with their kids to really fascinate them. But don't go crazy with some of your nanoscience and that they can't remember. You know, something basic, but wow.
All right. Here's a catch line and see how your kids react to this one. So I think you should know and your kids should know that we're all made of star stuff.
Star stuff. Like,
so all
like
of
me.
The elements
I'm
that are you, the calcium in your bones.
Star stuff.
The carbon, the nitrogen, the oxygen you breathe, all of these elements were cooked up in the heart of big stars many, many millions of years ago. When those stars exploded, went nova and supernova, it spewed out these heavy elements that later collapsed and became our solar system and eventually incorporated into our body. So you have in your left hand carbon atoms that came from one star, and in your right hand you have carbon atoms that came from a different star.
Star stuff. I'm a star.
You are a star.
I'm a star.
Millions of years old.
I'm a star. You're a star. We're all stars. That I saw. I think that's crazy.
It is crazy.
I think, and to tell a kid, you're a star. There you go. You always wanted to be a star. And then I thought it was fascinating. You had in the planetarium at the end when you showed all of the stars and the different constellations. And then we did a little private discussion of the travel, how things travel. There was something about, you know, if we played I Love Lucy or something.
Right,
it was
right.
I Love Lucy, I think you used the example.
Uh-huh.
Now, or in whenever, just decades ago, where that is right now, that it continues to travel
at the speed of light. So radio signals travel at the speed of light, TV signals. So when we started broadcasting over the air in the 1930s, the Munich Olympics, 1936, was one of the big events, first broadcast. And I Love Lucy in 1950s was broadcast that time. Those waves and those light signals have been traveling outward at the speed of light ever since.
And what's neat is you can track it.
We can track it.
Like,
we
know where they are. You have an image where you show, this is where I Love Lucy is right now.
And we can see where
some alien
is. with the right TV, with the big rabbit ear antennas, for those of you who remember those.
If they have some sort of receptor.
They can pick up the signal.
They can pick up I Love Lucy.
And they, who knows what they would think of it. Right? They would think of this race of aliens. We would be aliens to them, right?
So yeah, it's fascinating. And so that image was something that I remembered because you were able to put, you know, different globes almost on where the different information was according to traveling at that.
That's right.
At that speed.
And another kind of layer we're able to superimpose. And we can actually, this is real data that we're using. So we have a lot of survey data, telescope data, satellite data that's in our system. So these are not artist imaginations. It's current information that we can, and we did bring up the extrasolar planets. These are planets around other stars. And in that image, we can see how these solar planets, extrasolar planets, some of them are inside that sphere of the 1950s I Love Lucy sphere. And those planets, if they had the right life with the right TV receivers, could be watching I Love Lucy. Now, those further out, they have to wait their turn.
Yeah,
they
have to wait. Not I Love Lucy. And so another thing that I thought was fascinating was that we, you know, the farthest a human has traveled is the
moon.
Okay. But that we have sent stuff that the human life and our technology has been where?
That's right. Our human technology has been on every planet in the solar system, many of the moons.
Does that include Pluto?
And that Pluto has went on the way.
Okay.
2016, it's going to arrive. That'll
it's
be the
get
first
like,
visitor
so it's,
to Pluto.
It's going right now?
It's going right now. It's been going for many years, actually.
That's fantastic.
It's a long journey.
That is so cool.
Our farthest physical artifact, human artifact.
Yes,
human
so build, where did that go?
Is the Voyager and the Pioneer spacecraft launched in the 70s, and they're still traveling and still sending back signals. We can still pick them up. It's amazing.
Gosh.
They're about 5 Pluto distances away from the sun. So they're actually past the influence of the sun. The sun is pushing out cosmic rays. And then the cosmic rays, they diminish in strength, and at some point the sun has no more influence.
Okay.
And those spacecraft have passed those boundaries, the heliosphere it's called.
Okay.
And it's actually an intergalactic space. It's in the space between the stars.
So that is something that I think most people would find fascinating. Because everyone thinks, yeah, we sent a man to the moon, you know, or men to the moon. But we not as physical beings, but we have been farther.
We have been. And then so that's our physical
presence.
And
we continue.
And we continue to move out. And then we receive information from much further than that with our telescopes, including the Hubble Space Telescope. So there's different ways that humans have been able to sort of reach out into space physically.
Right.
With the visual, with the telescopes, and then, of course, with your imagination.
That is, I mean, this is just so interesting. The wealth of knowledge that is at the planetarium, whether through the staff or through the data, through the shows and the ability, and I can vouch for it because my daughter took away information from the movie that they showed at the public performance. It can be conveyed in such a way that somebody 4 to 100 can appreciate and learn something new each time they go. And I feel like it wouldn't get old. I feel like I could go back because you do get in a lot of information that I couldn't even retain at all, so that the next time I get something else.
That's right.
Right. So it's something that can be that you can go back over and over again. There's no excuses. You got to go to the Rao Planetarium at the U of L. You can park right in the speed. If it's during the week, you park in the speed museum parking garage.
That's right.
On the weekends, they have an adjacent parking lot that is open and available for you to park at, or you can still park at the Speed. There are things around there. You can walk. There's a comfy cow. There's Qdoba. You can make a whole day of it. When we were there, we left and we went to Old Louisville and walked around for a little bit because you're so few blocks
just
up.
Right across the
street.
And
we went to the park. So there's other things that you can plan your day around it. So before I let him go, we have to do the Friday Funny because scientists can be funny.
Let's not say that's true of all scientists.
scientists can deliver a joke. Here we go. Dr. Tom Treader is going to share. He has children. He's got some cheesy kids jokes. So here's your joke. Tune in, listen up so that you can go tell it back to your kids. Got to make me laugh. Pressure's on.
Oh, no, the pressure is on. Well, this is my 9-year-old's favorite, so I'm going to give that one and blame her if you don't like it. So
okay.
It has to do with stars, of course, since we're with the planetarium.
Oh, great.
Right? So the question is this. What kind of star wears sunglasses?
What kind of star wears sunglasses? I don't know, superstar.
Yeah, it's pretty close. It's a movie star.
We're all stars. We're all stars. We're all made up of stars,
that's
right?
That's exactly it. So go out there and act like a star because you are one.
Yeah, so there you go. Thank you so much, Dr. Tom Treader from the Rao Planetarium and the Science Education Department at U of L for coming and joining me and talking and educating everybody on why they should head to your planetarium or bring the planetarium to them with that mobile planetarium. And I hope you enjoyed coming and chatting with us.
It has been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing many of you come by our planetarium.
Come on by and tune in every Friday to Louisville.am for the Louisville Family Fun podcast so that these little pieces of information, you don't want to miss them, and I'll bring them to you every Friday.